Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in 1. It's scuff, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Burt Show.
Is it a work trip or is it a trip to meet another woman? That's what we're going to try to get to the bottom of with our War of the Roses. Mo, what exactly is War of the Roses?
That is when someone reaches out to us because they believe that there might be some infidelity going on in their relationship. And we come up with a list of roses that we ask the person that they believe is creating the infidelity to send one of the flowers to whomever they may choose. And we see if they send them to the person they are with or the other person that is in question.
All right, Sarah. Welcome to the.
Go in there and find
it. Whoa!
All right.
Is Sarah okay?
She's big mad.
Man, listen.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay, Sarah. You're going through a lot.
First question. Are you okay?
You all right?
Yes. I am okay.
Okay. Let's take two. That was wild.
My heart skipped a little bit.
I know, I did too. I was like, I thought we were with, like, we were hearing something go down. I'm like, we're going to be witnesses. Cops are going to call us.
No.
Okay. All right.
It was bothering me.
Okay.
Hi, guys.
Hello. How are you?
All right, so Sarah, you hit us up and about wanting to do War of the Roses, and we're willing to do it for you, but we got to get a little history here. We got to get a little backstory. So what is going on with your husband? Tell us about your relationship and why you think he may be cheating on you and going out of town to see another woman.
Okay, there's been like a lot of like changes, you know, in his behavior. He's been acting real sketchy, you know, and he's been working late, you know, and, mm-hmm. and for the last, maybe about the last week, he's come in twice, you know, after 11 o'clock, and that's not typical for him. So it's kind of, you know, it's raising my spidey senses, you know, and, when we are at home and we're supposed to be spending time with each other, he like every time the phone rings or something, he'll go off into like his little, you know, office area. He's like, I got to take this. I've got to take this. This is a private call. And I mean, he never tells me who it is. I don't ask either, but you know, he doesn't offer up any information to me. So like, why does he have to go off and have these secretive phone calls? I don't understand that. And then like when he does work from home, he's in his office all day. And sometimes late night. And I hear him in there talking, and it's almost like he's whispering, you know? So I'm like, I want to know who's he talking to at this time.
And this is all, and Sarah, this is all like new behavior. This isn't like something, this isn't how he's always functioned. This has been something that's been happening like for how long now?
Maybe, you know, just for the last couple of months or
okay.
so.
All right.
And there's a big distance between us, you know, we're not, it's not how it used to be. We used to, you know, cuddle and talk. He doesn't smile at me anymore. It's just, everything is changing. And, you know, I just want to know what's going on. My anxiety is through the roof at this point because like, am I losing my marriage? I don't get it. I don't understand what's going on between us.
Is there any history of infidelity since you guys have been together?
No. You know,
he would never.
I need to know if he's being faithful to me. Like, I want to know this, and I want to get to the bottom of it. And like, he's going on this work trip this weekend, and like, I want to know if he's going to be hooking up with somebody down there. Like, I want to know.
I get that, because your anxiety spikes when you start to feel a vibe shift. And it's so hard to express that to somebody if you just feel like something's different. Because like 9 times out of 10, when you bring it up to them, they're like, no, everything's fine. And they kind of brush it off. But if you look at the statistics for the professions that are more likely to cheat, it's typically the professions that have some kind of travel involved. So I don't blame you at all for feeling like there could be something up.
Are work trips typical for him, or is this also new behavior?
No, he does take work trips, but not often.
Okay.
And he seems kind of excited about this one. I just want to know if he still cares about me at all. And I want to make sure that my gut feeling is telling me something's wrong. And he brushes me off like it's nothing, but my gut is telling me something's just different this time.
Yeah, well, so Sarah, as we're sitting here listening to you, and I can see Mo and Abby's faces, right? And, like, you just went through a laundry list of red flags.
Yeah.
I just want you to prepare yourself for when we come back, because I feel like he's putting everything out there that definitely could be the case. Okay.
I'm hoping not.
Yes, of course. Of course.
Let's cross our fingers here, because I'm hoping it's not.
But I don't think we've ever had this many red flags.
In a
War of the Roses. All right. So hang tight, and we're going to have the results for you here in just a little bit, Sarah. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
The Burt Show.
Sarah has a sneaking suspicion that her so far faithful husband may now be being unfaithful. Abby, tie us up in a little bit of a recap bow here, what Sarah just told us.
So Sarah called us screaming actually at the beginning of our first call, and it told us that her husband has just been showing her all these red flags. He's like whispering on the phone. He seems more excited about this work trip than normal, and it's not abnormal for him to go on a work trip. He just seems a little bit more enthused about this one. He goes on them every now and then, and because the vibe in her marriage has just kind of been a little off, she's looking at everything. She's piecing the puzzle together. And it just feels like maybe he's sneaking out on her. So she called us in a panic and was like, can you do a War of the Roses to see if my husband is going to step out on me on this work trip?
And Sarah, you said he does have a work trip this weekend, correct?
No, she's quiet now.
Yes, he does. He has one this weekend.
Okay.
And I want to know.
Okay. All right. So Sarah, what we do with War of the Roses, you gave us your husband's email. We sent him a promotional email saying, hey, free flowers for the one that you love. And then he can choose. And if he takes the bait, we can typically tell by the type of arrangement he gets. Also, obviously, by who he sends it to and what the card says, what actually is going on here. So we posed as a florist called Blossoms and Blooms and sent this promotional email to your husband. We offered him a free arrangement, and he got to choose from the following. First, we have, because Bert is out and I'm filling his shoes, Tommy is filling my shoes with the fake promotional emails. So he's added a little levity to some of the arrangements. We know your marriage is on the line here, so please don't take this as a slight when we do this. But we have Bloom, Shake, Shake, Shake the Room.
Okay.
What?
Bloom, Shake, Shake, Shake the Room.
That didn't disappoint.
That did not disappoint. So that was the first option, arrangement. An explosion of vibrant color and lively energy. This bold, eye-catching arrangement combines an eclectic mix of bright blooms, orange roses, radiant yellow sunflowers, and hot pink Gerber daisies spaced out to create a stunning boom effect.
Hopefully that one comes with earthquake insurance.
Maybe. Next, there was Petal Pusher. Say that three times real fast. A vibrant and playful floral arrangement that exudes energy and charm, bursting with an eclectic, that's the word of the day, mix of gold saturated blooms. This arrangement features an array of roses, peonies, dahlias, accented by delicate sprigs of baby's breath. The colors are a lively fusion of soft pastels and vivid tones, creating a visually striking contrast that instantly captures attention, perfect to uplift and inspire. And then lastly, this is the given budding romance, a delicate and enchanting floral arrangement, beautifully captures the essence of love in its early stages. featuring soft blush pink roses symbolizing admiration and affection. All right, we really need to tighten up some of these descriptions. We're going to peonies, blah, 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 purity and grace, blah, 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 greenery, blah, blah, baby breath, blah, 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 sense of growth and promise, blah, 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 love that's just being in bloom, blah, 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 sweetness, potential, budding love.
The summary was long.
That was the abridged version?
Right?
Yes, it was. All right, so those were the three options. Sarah, your husband did take the bait, and he did order an arrangement, and he chose budding romance. This is about the essence of love in its early stages. I'm not going to reread the whole entire thing, okay? Sarah?
Yes?
He's sending them to a woman named Jessica.
Oh, no.
What? Budding romance? What, Jessica?
Do you have any idea who Jessica? Do you know a Jessica?
No, I don't know any. Like, I don't know any Jessica in his life. Like,
okay,
who's Jessica?
He said delivery for today, and the delivery is going to a home address in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh my God, that's where his work trip is going this weekend.
Oh no!
I knew it. Are you sure he doesn't have like a coworker named Jessica that you may not know about?
That he's sending a budding romance arrangement to?
I know.
Not that I know. I don't know any. No, he doesn't work with anybody named Jessica.
Okay. So here's the card. It says, I can't stop thinking about you.
Oh.
After all this talking on the phone and video chatting, I can't wait to finally put my arms around you and spend a romantic weekend together.
Wow, it got worse.
I'm sorry, Sarah.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him.
Yeah, you better send him a...
Don't tell us that part.
Yeah, no, send him a bloom, shake a peonies or whatever that first one was.
Bloom, shake the room up with him in it. That's what's going to happen.
Okay.
Well, I think before he heads out on his work trip, you two definitely need to have a conversation.
We're going to have a conversation. I'm going to confront him, okay?
Yeah, ain't no work trip no more.
Yeah. I don't even know what I'm going to do. He's not even going to see it coming. Thank you so much, y'all. Oh, my God. He's not going to see this coming at all.
Don't tell us any more of your plans.
Yeah.
Okay? You keep that to yourself.
This is now evidence, so let's just go ahead and get off the phone with you.
I'm trying to help you here, Sarah.
I'm really, really sorry, but at least now you know and you can confront him and get to the bottom of this and that your spidey senses were accurate. Okay, Sarah? I'm really sorry.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, it's not your fault. It's definitely not your fault.
I hate it when we're right.
I know. All right. Take care, Sarah. If you need anything else, don't be afraid to hit us up, okay?
Bond money. Okay.
Bond money, she said.
Oh, I was like,
all right,
what?
That's good. Yeah.
Bye. Right.
I feel like we're accomplices now.
Yeah, I do too. I feel for her. That was rough.
I won't survive jail, so keep me out of this one.
Please, you and me both.
No, your voice is on. You're here. You're part of the crew. You're cellmates?
You're the youngest.
You can't get out of this. It's like the three musketeers, one for all for one.
The Burt Show.
All right, so.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Sylvia's Synergy Effect. Brought to you by Synergy Home Care.
Getting back in the kitchen got mom back into life. After her stroke, she felt uncomfortable doing what she used to do. But with her Synergy caregiver, Emma, things changed. She got help at home and regained the confidence to get back to her old recipes. Now the hardest thing is getting mom to stop making her biscuits. So good.
We believe getting back to what you love can keep you moving forward. Find your Synergy effect with Synergy Home Care.
Abby, you told us yesterday that you were ditching the dating apps.
I know.
And you're ditching the date and not just deleting them from like the screen of your phone, but actually deleting the accounts. And so I asked for any other woman out there who is just over it and sick of the dating apps, if they want to do this with you, if they want to ride with you with no dating apps, they need to hit you up. And apparently you got quite a few emails and DMs.
I got quite a few of them. And honestly, I think that last War of the Roses is more motivation just to delete all of our dating apps and give up men forever. So I think we're all just kind of at a place where we've done the same thing over and over again. And yes, I know the dating apps can work out for some people. My brother is currently in a relationship with a woman that he met on a dating app. I understand that one out of 572 times it does work. However, I'm a part of the 571. And if you are also a part of that group and you want to go completely dating app sober with me, here is your motivation. Let's do it together. So the first email I got was from a woman who actually said that she started this trend 11 years ago. Whoa. And I thought this story was so fun and salacious, I needed to share it, even though she's already a part of the dating app sober group. So she sends me an email and she says, I actually got rid of dating apps years ago. About 11 years ago, I jumped on Plenty of Fish, hoping to find, you know, that special somebody. I ended up getting a message from one of my exes from back in my high school time. Now I'm 37, so this was a while ago. He hit me up and we started hanging out. One thing turned into another and I ended up pregnant with his son. The day I told him I was pregnant, he literally vanished and I have not seen or found him since. Turned out he was cheating on his fiance, who was also pregnant.
Shut up.
And I ended up being the other woman. Dating sites were not made to find a man for life. They were made for booty calls.
Dude, you need to book her for your breakup breakdown podcast ASAP.
I emailed her out. I was like, I'm in the business of this. Hello. I know a guy and the guy is me. Come talk to me for my podcast. Okay. The next was a DM from a woman who said, hi, Abby. I just heard your segment on dating apps and I feel the same as you. I'd love to do a full delete and be a part of the group that sees what in real life things happen. I had an ex-husband for 12 years and I had a husband for 12 years. Now he's her ex-husband and got with him pretty young. Now I've been single for what feels like the first time as a real adult for almost 9 years now. Since then, I did have a 3-year relationship, but that ended 2 years ago. I think the apps are C-blocking me. My friends get matches daily and I can go a whole week without even one. I haven't had a first date in almost a year. Not my choice, but the universe/apps, since I can't seem to get a match, let alone have a conversation that lasts past a few sentences.
Now, when a woman says C blocking mode, do you know what the C stands for us?
I think I do.
What is it?
Oh, if I can say it, then it ain't what I'm thinking.
No. Not because, like, when a guy says he's being C blocked, we obviously know what that C is. But if a woman says it,
I don't know.
You're getting clam.
Can you not find it?
Clam blocked.
Yeah. Oh, clam block.
I thought it was a different word.
I didn't know either, and I thought that too.
Okay, I was with you. Like, yeah, that's not the word that came to mind.
I was like, he's looking for it. He's looking for the word.
No,
Kristen, why are you trying to bait this man into getting fired?
I'm not about to say it. Yeah. Okay, all right.
I was going with clam. I wasn't going with you guys.
Another four-letter C word.
Yeah. 1,000%.
So anyway, I got a ton of emails that, you know, kind of say the same things over and over again. I'm taking a step back. I hope that this is a new step for me. And so I forwarded all these emails and I told everyone to actually email Tommy at thebertshow.com because he's going to be producing everything. So Tommy at thebertshow.com, if you want to join all the women who are giving up these dating apps and going sober for who knows how long, then join the revolution, because we are going to start meeting people in real life.
In real life. You're actually going to do it.
The old-fashioned way.
You're going to go out into the wild.
Uh-huh. Starting this weekend. Catch me outside. How about that?
In the streets.
Rocking out with my clam out. Don't block me.
The Burt Show.
There's a reason why Mikey got the name Messy Mikey. And that's because somebody got a little messy at Brunch Fest.
Ooh.
I went to Brunch Fest and I'm here to seek forgiveness.
Hello, Father. I have sinned.
I am the worst.
What happened at Brunch Fest? And first, paint a picture of what the heck Brunch Fest even is.
I had never heard of Brunch Fest before. Apparently, it's a big deal. Someone gave me some free tickets, some fancy tickets. We got, we had baller tickets. Baller tickets at the Brunch Fest. It's basically just in a big green space around Atlantic Station. And there's like, I don't know, maybe 30 food trucks, like a stage, people playing music. But
oh, that sounds fine.
Mm-hmm. It sounds great, but here's where they get you. Bottomless mimosas.
Hey.
As a good brunch has. So here's, for those that don't know, if you are from Atlanta or if you ever visit Atlanta, you will learn that brunch is an Olympic sport here.
Yes, it is.
People love to get their brunch on. And it's like every day of the week, doesn't matter what it is. But there's something about sleeping in and enjoying yourself. Not one, not two, but you have to have at minimum three beverages in front of you when you do a brunch. Mm-hmm. You need a coffee, a water, and some kind of alcoholic beverage. And then you're eating eggs all times of the day, even though we can't really afford them anymore.
I wouldn't say I'm a big brunch guy, but...
You don't strike me as the type.
Or a mimosa guy.
Oh, well, now there's where you're wrong.
Okay.
I'm big mimosa guy. You know, people always talk about tequila, like, I can't drink tequila, it makes me crazy. I think I'm that way with mimosas. I think I shouldn't drink mimosas, especially after the events that transpired on Saturday. I invited a ton of, like... I just had a bunch of tickets to this thing. I invited a couple of friends. Jackson, his girlfriend went, his sister. We had a big group in there and started off just beautiful. Like, as ballers, you know, they give you this plate and they give you a bunch of these tickets so you can get food. But any of these tents that you walk to, they're going to have mimosas for you. And now I learned a trick pretty early on. This might have gotten me into some trouble. Is I found this one lady serving mimosas that if you tip her, she'll give you more champagne. Most of it was just like mostly orange juice.
Yeah.
And that I'm all about my health, and I don't think that all that acid is good for you. So
all that orange juice.
Or the sugar.
Yeah.
So I kept on returning to this lady, and boy, did it go downhill so badly.
Like, if you had to guesstimate, because when you go to like a food festival of any sort, because they're giving you like smaller portion sizes, if you had to guesstimate, how many mimosas did you end up having before you made a fool of yourself?
I can probably remember 10.
Damn.
But it's...
So you basically drank two bottles of champagne or Prosecco.
I guess. I don't... Here's something that I am really not proud of, but I think I have to mention it. Is they had this one tent where I think it was like to stop drunk drivers or something, but they'll test your blood alcohol.
Oh, geez.
And if you donate and you guess it right, they'll give you a prize. I didn't donate, but
it just gets better and better.
But they said I was the highest of the day, and so they gave me a prize.
No,
what's the prize? Not getting a DUI?
They gave me a wristband. I don't know if they were trying to track me or something, but they gave me a wristband.
Yeah. Did they put it on your ankle?
Okay. Now, so far you just sound drunk. That's highly entertaining that they had a blood alcohol level tent at Brunch Fest.
Yeah.
But what did you do that you feel like you need to confess?
Well, those guys at the alcohol tent, pretty judgmental for being at a Brunch Fest. but it all started turning bad whenever we went to the VIP tent and they had a silent disco. I'd never done a silent disco before. I don't know if it was the mimosas talking. I thought I would hate a silent disco. Pretty fun. I like silent
disco. And for those that don't know, you have headphones on, and there typically is like multiple channels, and you pick the channel of music you like, and there's a DJ, and nobody can hear anything. You just have these headphones on, so like you're in your own world jamming out to music.
Yeah, and that's where the acting a fool began, but what I can't stop thinking about, because this really is torturing me, is someone much my senior from the station here was there. And someone that I don't know very well, who I need to have a good relationship with, I tracked her down and talked her ear off.
About what?
I don't know. I could have been saying anything. Apparently,
that's scary. Did I know what she was saying?
According to other people, I kept on calling her an SOB, like in a nice way, like an endearing way. Like,
there's a nice way to say it.
Yeah.
No. Hold on a second. Pretend I'm her. I need to hear the way you affectionately and endearingly call somebody an SOB.
Okay. Well, I think this might be my thing. Is the more mimosas you get in me, the more times I'm going to say SOB. But
okay.
Oh, you're a good old SOB. You know that? Something like that.
Okay. Hey, Mikey. It's good to see you here at Brunch Fest. Are you having a good time?
Well, right. Yeah.
Yeah, SOB.
Hey, old SOB. It was.
That's different.
And this is obviously your senior, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I'm on the apology tour right now, but I'm going to hold off actually apologizing to anyone until they bring it up to me.
How many people do you think you offended?
Oh, there's no telling. I don't know.
The limit does not exist.
I'm not sure, but.
Okay, hold on one second. We're going to take. Jackson was there. Did Jackson witness this?
He did.
Can we get Jackson? I know you're listening right now. I need you to come down because now we have multiple sides of the story.
He might have had just as many mimosas as Mikey.
It very possibly could be. So,
there's a thing here where whenever you wake up the next day, people will either be honest with you. I can't tell what people do. Some people try to make you feel bad, and some people tell you the truth, and some people say you're okay. So we'll see what Jackson thinks.
All right, so Jackson, did you witness this interaction between Mikey and the higher up here that he repeatedly called an SOB?
I think I was on my way out right as things started to take a turn for him.
Because smart man. That's a smart man right there.
When we talked and kind of debriefed, on Monday when I saw him, I don't think I realized how drunk that he actually was, but I do remember him coming up to me and being like, I got the high score at the BAC 10, and was like very, very proud of that. And then on my way out, I saw him with this higher up senior that he reports to, and I had never met them before, so he introduced me and we talked for a second, but he seemed rather okay when we talked during that.
That's good.
Okay.
See? All right.
Now there's only one other perspective we got to get.
What?
And that's the higher SOBs? Up. That's the SOB.
I guess so.
You're going to tell me who it is.
Okay.
And I'm going to reach out and see if said person will come on the air and give their version of what happened at Brunch Fest 2025.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm still suffering. This is just the worst couple of days of my life.
Well, and also, too, dude, a bottomless mimosa hangover, the amount of sugar that you consume.
Ooh. How could they put me in a little cage and give me endless mimosas and be okay with that?
It's not your fault.
It's not my fault at all.
This was a cage of your own making.
Yes, it was.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Bert Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
We're going to give a content warning for this break because we are going to be talking about Jay-Z's former accuser. So it's going to involve discussion surrounding sexual assault. But before we get into that, I know all you true crime fans have been very invested in this Gene Hackman story. And there is a famous forensic pathologist that isn't involved in the case, but he is giving his predictions as to what he thinks happened in Gene Hackman and his wife's passing.
But again, he has nothing to do with the investigation.
Nothing to do with the case. He is just giving his opinion. Mm-hmm. So if you remember the details, Gene Hackman was found in his kitchen. They had allegedly been there for about 9 days before they were discovered. His wife was in the bathroom, surrounded by pills next to a space heater. And their dog also passed because it was stuck in the crate. And of course, it was about 2 weeks before they were even discovered. Two other dogs were found on the site of their home totally fine. So a lot of reports have come out saying they're ruling out carbon monoxide. But right now, this guy named Dr. Michael Baden, who is a forensic pathologist, is making his predictions as to what he thinks may have happened based off of the evidence that we know so far about Gene Hackman.
Because I know out the gate, everybody was like, had to be carbon monoxide.
It just makes the most sense. Like, you found two people in completely two separate parts of the house, both on the floor, passed out. You've got to assume it's got to have something to do with carbon monoxide.
But it wasn't.
So given the evidence, this doctor, Dr. Michael Baden, is saying that the evidence they got from Gene's pacemaker says that he may have suffered a cardiac arrest and then collapsed. So then he's saying, well, Betsy was found in the floor of the bathroom surrounded by pills. She may have then run to the bathroom and then to get Gene's blood pressure medication and then fallen herself. Or it is also possible that she had a cardiac event of her own. It wasn't known that she had any kind of bad health reports. But
again, this is speculation. speculation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, speculation. All this is just speculating as to what happened. She was 65, also under severe stress, so it's possible that that could have happened, or it could have just been an accidental fall which caused her to hit her head. There was no evidence as to blunt force trauma, but she could have suffered some kind of internal injury like a brain bleed that didn't leave any kind of mark. And of course, the dog passed away from either dehydration or starvation, which is also just awful and sad and devastating. But that's right. That's kind of this running theory happening amongst some of the experts on the internet who are weighing in.
I'm wondering how long the autopsies are going to take, and they're going to come out with like a concise cause of death.
I'm pretty sure this takes like 2, 3, 4 weeks at least.
Because I know the toxicology test takes a while too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I know they're going to want to get it right just because this is such a high profile case. So they're probably going to run it a couple of times, run it back and make sure that they've got everything right so that more people on the internet don't start just speculating about these people's deaths. All right. Jay-Z is suing his former sexual assault accuser, claiming she's now admitted that her story was false. Mm. So weeks after the lawsuit against Jay-Z and also Sean Combs was dropped, this alleged that she was sexually assaulted by Jay-Z and Sean Combs as well in 2000 at an MTV after party. And it has since been dropped. And Jay-Z is saying in this lawsuit that Jane Doe has voluntarily admitted directly to Jay-Z's team that he did not assault her. And the attorney behind this, Tony Busby, who is behind all of those civil cases against Sean Combs, that he pushed her to make those allegations. It's basically saying this was all a bunch of trumped up charges, piling on all of these allegations and rumors that were swirling, pushed by Tony Busby, who is just trying to make a profit off of Sean Combs and Jay-Z's reputations and the rumors surrounding them.
So I obviously hate this for Jay-Z if false allegations were out there and were attacking his character, right? But in addition to that, I hate this so much for every woman who has a legitimate allegation of assault. And I'm going to read this because I think it's important, because then all it takes is this one high profile case to be like, see, it happens. And yes, it does happen. But from the National Sexual Violence Resource Center, when it comes to false reporting of an assault, 2 to 8% of all allegations are false. That's 2 to 8% too much. Yes. But I do want to stress that when a woman or man comes out and has a claim of assault, anywhere from 98 to 92% of those are true. This instance, I hope, isn't going to be like a poster child case of, you know, you can't believe allegations. But I do hate this for Jay-Z, and I hate this for his family, and that his kids had to go through this.
Yeah, I think that Jay-Z is doing exactly what he should do. I know a lot of men who have been falsely accused of things, and what you learn is that the apology is never as loud as the accusations, and the way that the media covers it is typically never as loud on the end of it as well. So to me, I think it should be a crime to falsely accuse somebody of something, of anything really, but definitely of something of this magnitude. And especially when it's proven, there's something should happen. Like, action should be taken so that this does not continue to happen to people, because it does happen more than people like to admit.
It is a crime.
Of course.
It is a crime.
It is a crime. So is she going to be fully pursued as it being a crime?
I think it may be up to, I don't know if it's up to the law enforcement or if it's up to the court system or if it's up to the victim. In this case, it would be Jay-Z. But false accusations can be a crime, and both the accused and accuser can face legal consequences.
I think that's how it should be.
Mm-hmm. And of course, he's specifically going after her for defamation, amongst other things. But I think it's also important to note, and obviously we have no idea who's innocent, who's not innocent, but these are two of the most powerful men in Hollywood with all of the resources and money in the world. It is possible that maybe they threatened her behind the scenes, that if she didn't drop the case, something may happen to her. And I think that's also just adding to the tragedy of this whole thing, whether it's his reputation that's been ruined falsely, or if this woman has been silenced into dropping her case. For more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
Should you plan your vacation travels around your kids, or should you say, F them kids? I'm gonna do what I want to do on vacation. Is that the question you're asking yourself, Cass?
It is. So, like, you know, most of America, I'm an avid TikToker. And of course, because I'm a mom, I get shown cool places around the world that are kid friendly. Like there's one, I think, in Switzerland, and it's got like, it's a hotel and the whole hotel is kind of geared towards kids. And so I'm looking and I'm like, that looks awesome. So I, you know, start a little bookmark folder of places to take the kids. And as I'm compiling these places, I'm like, huh. Am I really going to go to Switzerland one day and just spend all my time at a hotel with a playground for the children? Like, that's not really, that's not what I want out of my life from an international trip that is going to cost a lot of money.
When you travel somewhere like that, you want to immerse yourself in the culture. You want to see the sites that make that, you know, area famous for whatever reason. So I would feel like, why am I traveling across country to just play at a Swiss playground?
Exactly. Even though it looks like the coolest hotel. So that got me thinking. And of course, I would bring my kids to like immerse themselves, maybe not in a bakery in Amsterdam, but child appropriate activities. Yeah. But of course, child appropriate activities, that gets boring a while after a while for kids. They don't want to see museums and cafes and go on bike. They don't care. And so my question is, if I'm planning a family vacation, like, what's the balance? Do I just plan the vacation that Chad and I want, like the family friendly version of the vacation Chad and I want, and bring the kids with us and be like, well, tough luck? Or do we really kind of plan the trip around the kids? Like, hey, we're going to pick this location because we know there's stuff to do for the kids and that's the primary purpose. And then we'll find adult things that we like to do as well.
And again, we're using the term vacation very loosely.
Yeah, it's parenting in a different state or country.
Yeah, there's no such thing as vacation when you have, I think for the age yours are now, which I believe Hazel's 5, Max is 3.
Mm-hmm.
I think as of right now, you do have to cater locations towards them. But as they get older and a little more independent, you could do more adventurous ones where everybody can benefit.
Mm. Yeah. Well, do you guys remember when your parents took you on vacation? What was it like?
I mean, as far as I can remember, I remember my parents always kind of rotating. Like they would, there would be a family trip where all of us would go. And obviously the trip would be catered to the whole family. But my parents also had like their trips, their couples trips, where I remember we would be mad about it, like why we can't go. But being older now, I understand why they needed those times. So they just rotated them. I remember it being like one and one and one and one.
There were trips where we were definitely kept in mind, but I think my parents genuinely went where they wanted to go. I think in the beginning of us being like a young family, like I don't think we could really afford to go a lot of places. Like I remember going to Disney because we lived in Florida every now and then. And then as my parents got more financially stable, they wanted to take trips that were international and they wanted us to come with them because they wanted us to have those experiences too. And so I'm really grateful that they made the sacrifice of not having a vacation with just them and allowed us to go explore these new places. Because now I have so many things checked off, but I was also at the age where I can remember them. So I almost wonder, you know, what's really the benefit of taking them with you if they're memories that might not be worthwhile or lasting?
Because I'm high anxiety and I can't handle leaving them behind.
So growing up, we were like lower middle class that moved into middle class. And Dad got 2 weeks of vacation for the entire year. That was it. And God bless them. Yeah. And that 2 weeks for, and that was typical, man. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I feel like it still kind of is.
Probably for a lot of people. We haven't, like, it's almost embarrassing how much vacation time we get, but I'm not going to be mad at it. Mm-hmm. And I actually think that should be the norm. Like what we get should be the norm. Unfortunately, it's not. So Pops had two weeks, and growing up, we did the trips to Disney, did those once or twice, if I remember correctly. There was this one Madeira Beach in Florida. We would go and stay at the same hotel year after year. The same family would go at the same time. So we'd always see them. And that was what we did when we were younger. And then as we got older, and again, these were all catered to us, we did a trip out west. So we did this huge loop for 2 weeks in an Astro van and hit all these like Yellowstone, Sequoia Forest, Mount Rushmore, you know, all that stuff. And then we did another one a couple years later, all up the East Coast. So hit like all the big monuments, historical places, all the way up from Kentucky to Maine and coming back down. So that's what we did as kids. Would I endorse that now? I'm not doing that with Jimmy.
Because travel's expensive. Like I'm saying, Switzerland, it's not like I have an international trip planned anytime soon, because for a family of four, that's going to break the bank. You got to save for that. And I think that's why I'm thinking so much about it, because I want to go to these places, but I want my kids to see them too. Like Abby said, and I grew up, you know, I'm originally from the UK. I grew up in England for a little bit before we moved to the States. And my family is all over the world, so traveling and seeing those countries is really important to us, and like visiting family in Greece and everything. Everywhere. But it's just, if we go, I don't want my kids to be bored out of their minds, but I don't want to be bored out of my minds. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to drop like $8K on flights that I've saved up a couple years for just to sit at a dang playground. But I don't want to be the mom who drags her kids places that they hate, you know?
And then what's going to happen?
Resentment, therapy bills.
I was just going to say sitting at home, but okay.
Oh, yeah. That's well, you know, I do have a sweet RV, so maybe I'll just hang out in there.
All right. So I need you guys to tell me if you think this relationship is doomed. This is something a dude posted on Reddit. And is she asking too much, or is she just asking for what she wants? That is the question. He goes, so for context, I, 24-year-old male, and my girlfriend, 23-year-old female, have been together for 2 years, living together for roughly 6 months. Normally, we have a good routine. I wake up first, make coffee, and she wakes up to a nice hot cup. Recently, though, she started getting particular about how she wants it done. She insists on using this super specific method. Measure the grounds to the exact gram. Pre-warm the mug in the microwave for 30 seconds. Add the milk at a certain temperature. And on and on. At first, I tried to oblige. Because, hey, if she loves coffee that much, I want to make it nice for her. But it got to the point where every time I handed her a cup, she'd grill me. Did you weigh the grounds first? Did you warm the mug? Is this whole milk or 2%?
Nah. Nah. That slipped. My bad.
That was an inside thought that came out.
It was.
If anything was off, even by a tiny bit, she'd sigh and say it wasn't as good as the right way. One morning, she literally took the mug from me, dumped it down the sink.
No.
Wow.
And started the process herself while ranting that I never do it the right way. I got frustrated and told her, if you're going to be this picky, just make your own coffee.
Bingo.
I'm done making something only to be told how it's wrong every time. She got upset and said I was overreacting, that she wants her that she just wants her coffee a certain way, and that I should respect her preferences. I argued that I was respecting her preferences. I just didn't appreciate the constant criticism or micromanaging. She accused me of being lazy and unaccommodating.
Ooh.
Now I'm feeling guilty because I do want her to enjoy her morning coffee, but I'm also tired of feeling like a barista under constant scrutiny. Am I the a-hole for telling her she can just handle it herself until she stops micromanaging me, or should I just suck it up and follow her super detailed instructions?
When she told me, I want you to respect my preferences, I would have told her, I respect your preferences so much that I prefer for you to do it yourself. Because sometimes, like they say, if you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. And at this point, she either needs to hire a personal barista or she got to do it herself. I think she's doing just a little too much, especially with the micromanaging.
I think there's a deeper issue here. I think she is attaching some feelings that are happening in this relationship. Maybe he constantly does things that she doesn't feel like are right. And this is just kind of the lightning rod that she can use to express those feelings. And it honestly feels like a form of self-sabotage that I think she needs to confront with a professional or maybe a local barista that isn't her boyfriend.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that she, I'm not going to call them demands, but she had preferences. I want X, Y, and Z done for my coffee. And he did X, Y, Z, but that still wasn't good enough. What I see here for this poor dude, nothing's ever going to be good enough.
Bingo. Nothing.
Literally nothing's ever going to be good enough for her when it comes to you and what you're doing.
Sometimes that Y in XYZ stands for you do it.
For me, it stands for run!
The Bird Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.